the Ocean Park Community Podcast, bringing you the history of our neighborhood through stories from residents. You're listening to part one, Meet the Podcasters. In today's episode, we'll introduce Pete, Ed, and Don.
Don and Ed and myself basically all grew up together in Ocean Park starting roughly in 1946, 45.
Yeah.
We have all done our thing in life, been to different places, and we've come back, and we now live here in our retired years.
I've lived here all my life. I haven't left. We had the party property on the bluff down here by the bottom of North Bluff. We had an acre right on the bluff where Dr. Nayrod is living now. So anyway, he put the property up. We made him put the property up for sale, and then we bought a little house in White Rock for a while before, and then I moved back.
During those years, during and after the war, this was more of a summer area.
Yeah.
And there were, you know, very few permanent families like ours were. Dawn was here ahead of all of us.
Yeah.
The services weren't here. There were wells for your water, and a lot of the places would have coal oil lamps or whatever.
You dug your own well.
Yeah.
15 feet.
Electricity,
right?
There was electricity here, like the power lines were here. But it was being able to get the crews to run the power lines to your house. Like our home on 15th Avenue, like my parents rented a summer house when we moved out here and built the family home on 15th Avenue. And we were about a year and a half before we could get the British Columbia Electric, which is now BC Hydro, to run the power the 200 feet from the pole to our home. So we had Coleman lamps and a hand pump for the well for getting your water. And that was probably till mid-1947, I would say.
Well, we didn't get ours till about 48.
Yeah. So, but it was here.
It was here right in the corner.
Quantities, yeah.
But you couldn't get it down to your house.
The Uren brothers found it, but I think that old guy also found it prior to, because he used to swim out, and he would be standing out there.
Oh, okay.
At low tide, and you'd see him, and you knew the water was deep because he had swum out there.
Yeah.
But then he'd be standing, you could see his head looking around, and he'd say, "No, really," and then he'd swim back shore again.
It's probably the same guy.
And probably what he was standing on was the old engine that's out there.
Yeah.
So.
Kind of by himself.
And the second postmaster, old Mr. Green, that helped Mr. Hughes, he always went away down the beach towards Crescent Beach, and he would not swim with us. So one day, some of us kids were walking down there, we walked down to talk to him, and he kind of covered his legs with his shirt. He'd been a soldier in the First World War, and he was a messenger, and some Germans shot him all up to get his bike, and his legs were full of bullet holes.
Yeah, like there were sunk. There were like whole indentations the size of my fist in three sides of his legs.
Who was this?
Oh, Mr. Green.
Green.
Yeah. Okay. And he also got, remember he used to always cough?
Yeah.
He'd always cough.
Because he got gassed.
And he got gassed in there. And he was a super guy.
Yeah, he really was, yeah.
He was. Like, this produced tears.
He was shot all to hell.
We didn't have much food in the house, and we used to always go up to the store and put it on and it got over $100. So he came down to our house and said, "We can't give you any more food, some more stuff." So. He said, $20 only in my hand, and says, "Go up and make your bill go down." And so she gave it to me. And I went up and I gave it to Mr. Parrott. They were partners, Parrott and in the grocery store. And I give the $20. Now, he did that for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And nobody ever said anything.
Was that this Green guy?
Yeah. And he did it for a lot of people.
Great guy. Yeah.
And I'm telling you, we wouldn't have survived without him.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was that tough, Ed. I really didn't. Kids wouldn't see that.
No.
We wouldn't see that. Yeah.
So Mr. Green was, like, he was just...
Assistant postmaster.
Assistant postmaster. Yeah. And Mr. Hughes, then?
Under Hughes?
No,
yeah.
No.
Later than Hughes?
Later than Hughes.
Yeah, yeah.
When the post office moves out here to be by the Safeway, they built a new one in 1948, and he was behind the counter there. And there's an article about what I did when I lived here, and I mentioned his name.
Yeah.
He's buried over in one of the...
On 28th Avenue or 30th,
somewhere over here. Yeah.
Sunnyside. He was a bachelor, as we knew.
Yeah, he was.
And did he not have a house next to Ben Stevenson's? Did he not live at 18th and Ocean Park Road?
He might have. I didn't know where he lived.
Yeah.
I thought Parrott lived in the in the big house.
Because there was that one house on the corner of Ben Stevenson's property, and it was built in the latter years. And I think it was Mr. Green. I really do. But I could be wrong there.
But he would... Yeah. Like when he came to our place, he came down and he snuck through the back, come through the bush here, and we saw him coming through. He says, "I'm going back." So he went up Horner Road.
Yeah.
And he says, what he said to us, "Don't go right away, because I don't want him to put one and one, two and two, or whatever together," right? So that's what he did. And he did it for other people. I know he did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because people here moved out here because they didn't have the money. And things were, property was cheaper, and you could get a little shack out here because a lot of them were summer homes, things like that. So
that's why we were able to shoot pheasants and grouse in the gardens, because all the places had a nice vegetable garden. But come Labor Day, when they went back town to go to school and that, all these gardens were unattended. Well, the pheasants and grouse just loved that, and so did we.
Yeah. So they used to get deer here. You'd had deer slugs, too.
Yeah, lots of deer here.
We need to know who you are.
I'm Don Welch.
And you came to Ocean Park?
I came in 1941 from Burnaby, and I was 5 years old. So that's a few years ago. We lived in a... We were in a place at the top of 14B there. Yeah. And we had no electricity, a wood stove, and no light. So you'd have a coal oil lamp at night. That's how old I am. And it was, it's always been a very, very good place to grow up in. We grew up running around down to the beach all over the place. We had to go to school by ourselves, and we usually went in small groups, I think. We went from right down at Ocean Park here over to the annex, which was quite a bit for six-year-olds to walk. And
we had the bottom 24 hours?
Yes. Yeah. And so we went in little groups there. We all spent a lot of time at the beach, and down at the beach there was a 15 by about 10 foot platform, barge, whatever you would like to call it.
That raft,
Raft. It had a diving board on it, too. And they would bring that around from Crescent Beach in the summertime, and everyone from here congregated down there. That beach now isn't used like it was used then by all of the local people. And another use of the beach was the United Church camp, and they went down to the beach. We had a little trail down at the foot of
15A,
something like that. We used that trail. We also went down that trail in little carts that we made and nearly killed ourselves several times. And the United Church camp they had a dangerous kind of a path down straight off their cliff, and they used to meet down below where the United Church camp is now. Used to be
Camp Quamez.
Camp Quamez, now. Yeah. It was the United Church camp then, and
foot of 128th Street.
We had these little cabins over there, and they had people out from the big city, which wasn't as big as it is now. They would spend the kids would spend their summer camps. They'd go out for a week at a time, kind of thing, and do United Church type stuff, and go down swimming and all that sort of thing. So it was a pretty interesting time. Well, my dad was a district manager for the province paper. He worked in town when he got out of school. He and our whole family don't particularly like cities. So this is where he chose to reside. And we stayed in this house that I was telling you about for a little while. And then we built the house that we always lived in when we were out here.
Yeah. What about you? What did your dad do, Ed?
He worked at the newspaper, Banker Sun. We were the Sun. And, you know, when I came out here, I had a Sun route, and I was stealing customers from the province because his dad was so popular here. He was the president of the association, but they had a contest. And so I was knocking on doors and saying, you know, if I sell so many things, I got a chance to win a trip to Disneyland. Or some, it was down the state somewhere. I don't know if Disneyland was built then, but it was something similar. But my dad was commuting in a Model A. I'd get out in the morning and he'd give it a crank and I'd be behind the steering wheel adjusting the gas and the throw or whatever, the two paddles behind the steering wheel, yeah, or whatever, up and down. And
spark
then,
and throttle.
Spark and throttle. And, and he used to run around as soon as it go, he'd run around and he'd fine tune it and then off he'd go. And he'd go all along King George was hardly a highway then, but he would take a run at the Woodward's Hill, otherwise he would never make it. So he'd get it up to about 50 miles an hour, I think.
Just to make it to the top.
And then he'd drive it all the way to Vancouver, and it took him about an hour and so. Later on, he found out about Peter's dad, who went down to Maine and... Terminal of Maine in Vancouver. And so he went with him, and they went in a carpool. We still seem to be on rations. I remember the rations. And people used
stuff
to give us gas.
Yeah, it wasn't easy to get. Yeah.
No. So this little pump here we had, it was one of these gravity pumps that you had to pump up, and it was like a glass tube, and it would go up and they give you 2 gallons or 3 gallons, whatever you pay for. And then you put in your, you know, you need to fill up, got paid for 2 gallons of gas.
Gas pump, yeah. It was a gas pump, a single gas pump across the street in front of Parrott's store.
Oh, it would be the corner parking lot.
The entrance to Safeway, yeah.
Yes.
And then originally, as we knew it as kids, it was the Parrott's farm and store.
Yeah, grocery store.
Parrott, yeah.
And that's where Green was.
My father, Ed, talking about my father, he was the shop foreman and service manager for a firm called the Big Motor Company. And he commuted back and forth. Like the first 2 years that we lived out here, from 46 to about late 47, Dad stayed in town, would come home only on the weekends because traveling, you would travel down the now Crescent Road and over to the King George Highway would put in, but it was just 2 lanes. And you would travel to the Patella Bridge and then over the Grandview Highway and then into Vancouver. So it was a long haul. And in the early years, my dad had an old 1938 Dodge. There was times that he'd have 7 or 8 guys in there, and he charged 35 cents a day for a rounder to Vancouver and back, and that was just for fuel and repairs. I can remember as a young man one time, my buddies and I had walked and hitchhiked into town, and we wanted to ride home with Dad in New Westminster. So when he got to New Westminster, Ed's dad was on board and a bunch of other guys here, and my father had an old broom handle. And the old cars in those days had big trunks on them, this 38 Dodge. And myself and Derek Urin and one guy, we sat in the trunk of the car with the broom handle holding the trunk lid up because the front was full of all these guys commuting back and forth. There used to be a toll on the east side of the Patella Bridge. And when we went through there, the guy just shook his head looking at us because, you know, it looked like a bunch of hillbillies. But there weren't any buses here then. They just didn't exist. That was the only way to get back and forth.
And no seat belts in those days.
No.
And you couldn't
go very
crawl
fast
up on the little ledge on the back seat of the car and stay there.
Yeah.
Well, they had running boards.
Yeah. There was 3 of us sitting in the trunk like a bunch of monkeys.
Like a rumble seat, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Because the old rumble seats used to come out that way.
That car commuted, I don't know for how many years, but it had over 300,000 miles on it when it finally died.
Well, your dad was a mechanic.
A mechanic, but
so he just kept it running.
So those were the early days in Ocean Park.